Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I am your host of the Dork Forest. You probably know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. We're all over iTunes and whoever has downloaded it and repurposed it for whatever your needs. That's right. So feel free to review the show on iTunes. Feel free to email me, Jackie at JackieCation.com, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns. Anyway, let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah. He'll sing again his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos does my website. Okay, there are many ways to support the show. Let's talk about them. The easiest way is just to tell other people about the show and follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Jackie Cation and tell people word of mouth. Another way to support the show financially, doesn't cost you anything, is the Amazon banner. On JackieCation.com, there's an Amazon banner under support the show. And on DorkForest.com, there's just an Amazon link that takes you to Amazon. And both take you to Amazon, you order like normal, and the show gets a little bit of a kickback. Doesn't cost you extra. It's just a way, if you order from Amazon, to help the show. More direct way of helping the show, you can give money to the show via PayPal. There's a PayPal button under the Support the Show page on JackieCation.com, and there's a PayPal button on DorkForest.com. You can donate directly. If you want to give monthly, I haven't made that easy. I don't have a monthly setup. I know that it's easy. I just don't have any time to do it. So you have to remember every month that you like the show and then give me money. So I'll use it wisely on audio cables and chocolate, whatever. Another way to support the show, if you don't like PayPal, is people have been Venmoing me money. I'll take it. That seems lovely. Jackie at JackieCation.com. It's just under Jackie Cation. So whatever. If you have listened to all 600 and whatever episodes of The Dork Forest and would like more Dork Forest, there are premium episodes, probably a dozen of them. And they are, in the last couple of years, if I do a live episode, it usually costs me some money. So I have been putting them up on Bandcamp and they cost money. They cost $2 a pop. But if you go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com, you can see those different shows. They're usually live episodes around the world. And there is also four stories on a sort of a handmade storytelling album that I made over there too. And those are just $1 each. So if you want to go to Bandcamp, you can do that as well. You can order merch on JackieCation.com. There are shirts and CDs and a DVD of my stand-up. There's the stand-up CDs, Circus People, It's Never Gonna Be Bread, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, and my brand new album, I Am Not the Hero of This Story. And they're all available as CDs on JackieCation.com. They're all available digitally on Amazon and iTunes, and you can just listen to them on Pandora and Spotify and whatever. So, but if you like hard copies, let me know if you want them signed or not. There's also a DVD of the Horcrux album, which is video. That's what a DVD is. And you can download that at ComedyFilmNerds.com if you just like a download. Okay, there are shirts. There's my stand-up shirt, Spooky Reading Girl. There's also two Dork Forest t-shirts. So there's the Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt, and there is a Dork Forest logo shirt. And all the shirts are made in the United States, union-made, so they run a little big because they're made by Americans. Other than that, my stand-up is available on the website, on JackieCation.com. You can watch my Conan sets. You can watch a bunch of different stand-up sets. You can, and then you can see what my schedule's like. Enough of this. Let's get into the show. It's a really good one. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room. It's the Dork Forest. I'm with Jamel Dotson, the man of many names. Many, many names. We did, what was the thing? We did something with Eric Lemper.
I don't know the name of it.
Two of them. We did, you know, two pods. One was interviewing me about what I like.
Yeah.
And the other one was you and I discussing slavery with Eric Lemper. Another cheerful podcast topic.
Wonderful.
Just because I'd just gone to the Monticello thing. And so, but Jamel Dotson at Hogshead Cheese on Twitter.
Whitebreadglobal.com is your stand-up website. And it regular, is. Just if people want to find you, do stand-up.
General, yeah.
This week there. You're in town doing sets in Los Angeles.
I am. I'll be at Flappers. That's one thing I can remember.
That'll do.
Definitely. I'll be, today, even though it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant, I'll be in Dunkies, which is a great place out of
Dunkies.
Melrose. Yeah. It's,
on Melrose?
Yeah. It's
like a bar?
Well, no. It's an art gallery, but it's okay. Like funky because the artist is sort of, I don't know, like everything is an acid trip kind of.
Right. And they have stand-up, of course.
THC. Yeah,
why wouldn't they?
Of course. It's very, it's awesome, you know, with the artwork. You know.
Yes. And stand-up in Los Angeles is always a guerrilla activity anyway.
It really is.
It just pops up wherever you thought you were going for lunch.
You know.
And you're like, I thought I was just going out to eat. Nope. There's going to be a show.
See that.
Okay. So, Jamel. I was like, give me five things. And you said sharks and
cetaceans.
By the way, I will be writing down a time code possibly during the thing because I pull a fun clip out.
Oh.
And then I put that up separately so that people can just listen to a clip and then come back and go on the YouTube page and can go, oh, I want to listen to that entire episode. He sounds fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so don't be distracted if I write down time code.
Brilliant.
Sure. This is not my first...
Not your first rodeo.
No, nope. This is it. Actually, I would love to be in a rodeo.
You know what? Really?
It's not my dorkdom, but I like horses a great deal. I don't know anything about them.
You know, my grandfather's a cowboy. You know,
for real?
That was something rodeos were things they used to participate. Matter of fact, my great-grandfather was a bronc buster. No, Texas.
In Texas?
Yeah.
And so he was an actual cowboy.
Actual,
and then,
literal, like, yeah, you know, cowboy. You know,
let's round him up.
You know, cowboy, turning this into NPR for the Prairie Home Companion, right?
Yeah, let there be enough sound effects that people are entertained.
Long live Garrison Keillor.
Oh, my God. Garrison Keillor is dead. Long live Garrison Keillor. Nah, the king. So, So did you grow up in Texas?
Well, no. Actually, I'm from Indiana.
Well, that's right.
Bloomington.
We discussed Bloomington and the Comedy Attic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. And let's see, my family is from Texas. You know,
okay. Originally.
And so we're all
spread
over.
Spread out.
You know, spread out. And so, but my grandfather and, you know, the family, we have a farm out in Texas, a small town called Tigg.
Tigg?
Tigg. It's spelled, it's T-E-A-G-U-E pronounced.
Oh, like some sort of weird Irish,
like pig.
Like crazy Tigg.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, little railroad town or whatever.
Is it northern Texas or?
You know, it's weird. Spatially, I can't. It's kind of like, it's near Waco.
Okay.
I think that's not too far. Here, to give you an idea of the sort of area, it's about 15 minutes away from this town called Mahia. It's pronounced Mahia, spelled Mexia, right? Now, this is the birthplace of Anna Nicole Smith, so just to give you an idea, right?
Oh, Texas, what's happened?
You know,
what's happened with the language? What's going on?
They're invented their own dialect down there, you know?
It's a lot of letters, just going to pronounce four of them.
That's
good
true.
For you. And so you grew up in Indiana, though.
Yeah, I grew up in Indiana, but I'd visit, you know.
All the time with the family.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, go and so did you get to pet the horses and ride them?
Yeah, you know, I got to do a lot, ride them. You know, oddly enough, I'll admit, I was terrified. Cows are scary, or at least they scared me as a child.
They're intimidating.
You know? Very.
I find cows, I mean, standing next to a cow, they're so dumb. You're like, they're going to kill me.
Well, yeah.
That's my thing with cows. I mean, cows, as far as I'm concerned, are the dumbest animal. And they could smush me, not even just like whack their head and knock me to the ground and trample me without even another thought.
Without
don't you think?
A thought. Oh, absolutely. Because they're huge. You
they're
know?
Huge.
My grandfather, like, he had a nice head of cattle, you know, and he would pull in with his truck and toot his horn kind of like a pimp of the like, cows.
Oh, like
you know, toot-a-loop, but it would be like an amp, 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 right? And like, the cows would come trotting up. Now, first thing that you learn is there's all sorts of folklore that's not true. Cows don't moo. You know, moos sound cute. They don't have like a... It's a scary, like,
right, right. More, it's more of a guttural you know, kind right. of. Yeah, we're. I'm gonna eat you
right.
if you don't eat me.
Like and Russian, so German, and Arabic all in one.
it's right. terrifying with a Nazi twist, you know? And then you're like, oh great, you're gonna take me out.
You know?
It's, So get wait, them. Do you eat? Are you a vegetarian?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay.
Under no
now,
circumstances.
We're going to skip ahead of sharks here because the cattle have led me to smoked meats.
Oh.
I make people, all right, Rangers, you know, I make people give me a list of things that they like and they might want to talk about. And we have a smoker. We've never used it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to do it.
That's what I hear. We've used it as a grill.
Yeah.
But what do you, I don't understand, like, because a smoker, it's like cooking something in the oven on low forever, right? Is that the deal?
Well, yeah, it is in the sense of it's slow cooking, but it's, the smoking is about the flavor, you know,
right.
That you get, you know, out of the smoke, you know, and it's kind of a culture, you know, behind the sort
oh,
of
like
smoke
different,
you know,
people
like,
doing different. Wood?
Well, yeah, you know, so you have like Texas mesquite, you know, I prefer...
Hickory chips, you know, I've heard well, so much about.
Right, you have different people that are different areas that are doing different things. Hickory, as I said, mesquite's
mesquite.
One thing, oak is another.
That just sounds like a good, that'll make a good fire.
You know, it does.
Right. I don't know what it tastes like except for oak?
Well, it, depending
it
on
makes
what
it
you
flavor,
use,
right?
it's flavorful, but it's so some can give you more spice, sort of a sharp note. Like pecan is a pretty mild wood, you know,
okay.
a nice flavor. It works well with like light, you know, chicken, fish, you know, poultry in general.
Yeah, my brother will smoke a fish because he does a lot of fishing.
Yeah.
And then I've seen, of course, a lot of pork being smoked. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Trick.
Have a lean back. Yeah. Have a lean back. I've gone with a very basic setup. I have a board and this table rises and. But I'm like, nope. Just gonna plug in a couple of.
Sumerian artwork. What is this?
These are our couches, and these couches were bought at the Salvation Army as a set. I never knew that I wanted a set of couches until
right.
we got them.
These are awesome.
And. They were awesome. They're just very distressed right now. They're right. kind of worn.
Wrapped but in when, rhino hide.
Well, when we got them initially, they were all very, you know, solid. But I think we suspect that they were foyer of a business kind of place. And then, yeah, and the front of each
business.
Of them. Yes, very glamorous. And but yeah. the front of them have hieroglyphics.
Yes. Oh, that's
which is
what,
why
you know.
We bought them. Because we... fell in love with the hieroglyphics
I
of them.
I couldn't tell because I saw like a winged horse or something. I was like, I don't know.
I don't know if it's
know.
Real hieroglyphics. I mean, it's a piece of $1,000 furniture for three pieces of furniture used.
They're awesome. That's how
they're pretty great.
They really are. I'm envious. Yeah. Anyway.
we have weeded off, my friend, which is a classic Dork Forest
moment. I'm good
moment.
At that.
Excellent. Well played. So,
tangents.
But here's... Okay. Do you know how to use a smoker?
Oh, yes.
So what we have, it seems to be, there's a place where you can just put charcoal,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a grate that goes on top, and then I can make a chicken, which is all I've ever wanted to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath, there seems to be some sort of doorway, and then you put other things in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then does it pipe up? Do you also put charcoal in, or no?
Well, there are different... kinds of smokers out there. It sounds like you're talking about an upright setup.
An upright, very much just sort of a chimney looking thing, right?
Yeah. Now that's something I typically don't use. Now,
okay.
Which is, now that's not because of a
well, ours was free.
Which makes it perfect.
for our needs.
But for your needs. But the idea is indirect heat. So your meat
okay.
would be what's on top, you know, and you'd
yeah.
have your chips, you know, down at and the bottom. That's
the very bottom.
What the door,
with the door, and
the
that's
hatch
where
is about.
Yes.
You know? And so the idea, of course, is low and slow. You know, so like a rule of thumb, it's not an exact science, which is why I say it's a culture.
I love that.
You know,
yeah.
It's like it's country stuff to me. It's good old boy stuff as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to preserve, you know, stuff.
Right. Right. If yeah, like venison and like if you go hunting and then you
pork,
come home.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever. The more I talk about this, the country, I feel like yeah. my accent's
you
getting,
get a
let me tell you something.
Rural as we
well,
go
I tell you what, you know, let me tell you something about smoked hog, you know.
Right. No. But then there's like all the spices too, right? You know, then there's the rubs and the.
Well, right. You know, so there's smoking meat, you know, and then there's seasoning. See, there, you have just the smoke flavor, but then
okay.
there's a greater depth once you start adding rubs and things like that.
Are people smoking meat without doing anything to them, like just maybe salt? Or
some do, you know.
Okay.
In a lot
but, because I think that's kind of, I mean, as long as you're going to do it, might as well put some, I don't know, some paprika, maybe a little a hot sauce or something.
Something,
or, yeah, like a Cajun rub,
right?
As the people
as they say,
as they sell in
as
a
the
jar
say.
At Ralph's.
Well, yeah, that's what you'd want to do. I would advise coming up with the rub. They sell rubs, you know. Now that's becoming a big market. See the like that. As the craft beer, like all of those,
oh, right.
the hipsters, the mm-hmm. sort of theme is they're coming back to things like it's weird. So the parents and people that represent the things that they hate, they're like pulling out little pieces, you
yeah.
know, that they right. like, you know, and
yeah.
just hold on to that little positive piece of nostalgia. So, so
right.
you know, which is cool.
That's
I understand.
Fine. I don't
know.
Actually want to do a lot of canning, but
you know.
I will do a rub.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can buy those, you can make your own, and that just adds to the depth of flavor, you know.
Do you do much of it, or did you do much of it?
That's
and would you like to do it again?
Yeah, I smoke meat all the, it's my, if I have a...
You need a space.
Well, you need a space, right? Out here in California is a terrible place for barbecue in general. There just isn't a lot out there, and... It's just not what people do. I'm coming out of Texas, which is to say that's where I sort of got that. So Texas is big on beef.
Right.
So they do, like because of cattle, so beef ribs. But specifically the big thing is brisket, you know.
Oh, right.
So that's
what do
an
they
art
do?
Form.
What is a brisket? It's just a haunch of beef, right? Like it's some sort of shoulder or butt or
it is
something like that, right?
I want to give you the specific cut, but I can't. I do want to say it's coming out of the beef shoulder, but I could be
right.
And could be wrong on
one
that.
One of the great things about the Dork Forest is the vagarity. We just wander around a topic, and then people yell at their iPad.
And that's what they
and,
do. No!
Yeah. They're like, it's actually just short of... And you're like, well, no, that's great. Email me, jackie@jackiecation.com. I'd love to know.
Haunch.
The only time I've ever had brisket... Like, I've had brisket... There's actually a pretty good barbecue place on Van Owen, heading toward the Burbank Airport from here.
Was it Dickie's?
The Swinging Door.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Texas style, too.
Okay.
I like North Carolina style
okay.
myself, just because it's more of a vinegar based. But
yeah.
that's the barbecue sauce.
That's sauce, but also you know Carolina and pork. You know, so you have not just sauce, but you know the sort of meat. You know, and the things
yeah.
that they make. And I think that's largely based on whatever. You know, your state or
right.
what's
and yeah, and how, like, I'm from Wisconsin, so there was no barbecue when I was a child. There
right.
was a lot of sausage.
You do a lot of
I come from a German, Polish, like, crawling with Northern Europeans who are doing a lot of work with innards.
I see. Innards.
So, like bratwurst and you know, like they're
well,
you know,
I guess
like guts and you know that's what sausages.
While they were living, the cows had to be very valuable. I figure, you know, because
I think there was steaks involved, but we didn't.
Well, I'm saying in the sense of it's cheese, right? That
yeah.
Wisconsin, so dairy cattle, so you're not. Producing
there's
the cows.
A lot of beef cattle,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Is it beef as well?
No, I doubt it. I mean, I'm sure there's some, you know. But one of my great uncles
had a dairy farm, and we went out and saw that. That was a lot of cows hooked up to some machinery.
I see the hooked up. You know, I will say this for people that might be listening. I don't, you know, it as talking about the rub, salt is the most important, really, the ingredient.
Okay.
It's the key. I would say that, and not going with like a fine salt, I would get coarse.
Sea salt or kosher? Yeah.
Kosher salt.
What about that Himalayan pink salt?
Well,
what about
that's
that
out there.
Fancy?
They have a lot of different salt that's there. That's all well and good. Because honestly, your palate, most people, you're not going to tell the difference, you know, from salt to salt. However, if I was selling it or mm-hmm. if you were having a dinner party or something of that nature and you wanted to sort of...
bring it up a notch.
You know, right. And they could see you pull out this pink rock and zest your salt over whatever, over, you know, your cedar board, whatever, you know.
Right,
you know,
right.
Yeah. That,
you're like, but if you bring out a platter of steaming smoked meats,
right.
People don't care.
Don't
they're like,
care.
They're not looking at the salt.
No.
they're like, is there bread?
That's it.
And
you taste the flavor, but it's just a... That's a selling point. You
right,
know,
right, right. So right restaurant-wise and
right.
stuff.
Oh, it's Himalayan pink salt. Is it?
Exactly.
Oh,
very glamorous.
So does this taste any different than the kosher salt?
It tastes like it costs $11. Is that something?
It's pretty much what it is. Salt right. tastes like salt.
Salt
you know?
Is, yeah. You know? I know that they added iodine to salt back in the early 1900s.
Right.
Because everybody was getting scoliosis or some damn, or goiters. Not scoliosis, goiters.
Trying to cut down on the spina bifida.
Yes, there was some sort of problem. I had lupus.
Yeah, it was fluoride, you know.
Yeah, it was like fluoride. It was iodine. And right. So what, do you have a recipe that you like?
You know, there's a, it's not a, I've like been a, working on something. I plan to open up a restaurant eventually. You know,
I've always wanted to open up. What is it about comics and restaurants? What would you call it? Wait, you might want to keep the IP.
I might want to keep right. a couple of things. I got a great idea, and I'd be awfully pissed to look up and be like, "That's son of a
already
gun.
Happening."
You know?
in college, I wanted to start a place called Grill It, and it would just be based on Weber.
Mm-hmm.
And Weber now has a chain.
They do
called Weber.
Yeah, and
they do. And I was like, "Well, I guess that's done."
In multiple cities,
right? It's a giant chain.
Well.
It's all working out for them, and they didn't need me. And then I wanted to do a coffee shop. Called Thirsty Boku, where you could only pay in traveler's checks. But that was from the 80s.
Only in traveler's, that sounds like a shady place. Right, there.
Right. Try to find a traveler's check.
A lot of arms dealers hanging out in
right.
there.
So you're thinking about putting together like a barbecue restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you got the chops to do that, you think?
I have the chops to do it. I have a large family, and I came out of a sort of culture of food. Well, first of all, food is culture. You know, it brings people together. Like it, a lot of times, say if this is your Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever sort of gathering it may be.
Right.
You know, half of what makes it special is not just the people, but the food. Hopefully,
right.
you have somebody, a grandmother, or someone
right.
that can cook.
Put something,
you know,
together.
Put something
yeah.
together. So half of the way I would get out of cleaning, which is washing dishes, didn't like, was learning how to cook, you know. And
you're
so,
like, you help on the front end. You don't have to help on the back end.
Right.
But that's the rule.
As a man, right? You know, see.
Yes.
Building fires and smoking meat, you know that.
Sure,
yeah, that's
sure.
right. You know,
walking around with matches on
that's
you
right.
when you're 14.
Right, right.
No, I need them because I'm running the grill.
Like, right, I'm the grill master.
That's my sister used to say that. You know, the element on our stove went out for
right.
2 years. My parents didn't get the stove fixed in Wisconsin,
okay.
So we grilled every day.
Right, that's great.
And my sister was the only one who would be willing, and she was just wanted to get out of the house. There were six of us, right? So she would go out to the yard in the garage. And in junior high one time, she got busted because she had matches. And she
right.
was like, no, I'm in charge of the grill at the house. I got to have matches on me at all times. And the teachers are like, yeah, you're 13. Keep it together. You don't actually need them now.
It's all right. Don't worry. I'm a volunteer firewoman. got this under control.
Right. So who,
CPR certified.
So who actually did this, like, most of the cooking? Was it the men folk and their fire qualities?
No. You know, that was, see, the meat is a key part. You know, this is the piece de resistance, you know, right. So you'd
centerpiece.
My grandmother, of course, was the matriarch, passed it down on to my mother. I come from, like, my parents both cook, you know. My mother's more down home. My father will swing for the fences, you know.
Oh, he's just trying to create something out of nothing.
Just trying to create something.
What's in the cupboard?
Right. It's a glorious failure, or it could be, you know, just glorious, you know.
Right, it could be amazing.
Oh, this is wonderful. Or
what's one of his triumphs? You know, you got a triumph in your mind?
Dad does a wonderful, like, lamb, you know. His leg of lamb is... That's his thing, you know.
That's like a marinated with a shish kebab?
I don't even know what he does. His mint and rosemary sort of thing.
Oh, interesting.
He knows his shank, I believe.
Oh, he'll do it like a big piece of lamb.
Yeah, big old hunker.
We did shish kebab as kids because Armenian. And the secret to the marinade is the funniest thing in our family because it's wishbone Italian salad dressing.
Oh, that's great stuff. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with
marinate a steak with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with wishbone salad dressing. They're nailing it.
Yeah.
They've really...
You're killing it.
Like, that's... science got involved and they really put it together.
It's wonderful. You know, speaking of marinades and science, I think they recently debunked, like, marinades and their value. And like the overnight marinades, and they were saying that it's worthless. Like that, you know, all of that is just to make you feel good, but it hasn't actually penetrated the meat any further. You know,
okay.
So past an hour, it's all just, you know,
it's still
all the same.
Okay,
you know, so
it's a better way to not have to do all the work at once.
It is that.
Because you've done, now it's marinating. I don't have to cook it right now.
I don't think anybody's going to stop. You know, like, marinating makes you really seem like you know what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's an overnight, it's a 24-hour marinade.
It's a marinade. It's real, you know. Oh, don't touch it. It's marinated.
It's marinated.
It needs another,
it's soaking
like
in its own juices.
6.5 hours, I don't know.
I'm marinating some root vegetables right now. I'm going to do a bake.
Oh, what do you got?
I got some beets, some fennel. Some onions, some garlic, and a yam or a sweet potato.
Okay.
Just going to bake it up because we've been trying to eat more vegetables.
No, the root vegetables, those are great, you know, to throw. You know, people don't do that. You really don't need much, you know, just a little sprinkle of something. You know,
it was just salt, pepper, and oil.
Yeah.
That's what I went with. Yeah?
And that's it, you know. Give it a little bake and you're good.
And then just... eat it.
Yeah, because it's weird. The stuff is good.
Yeah,
rutabaga.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
A rutabaga? A turnip?
You know?
The biggest problem is when you don't cook some of these things long enough. Yeah. And that's when you go, oh, I hate that.
This tastes like the earth, you know?
Yeah. That's because you didn't.
You know, didn't cook it.
Yeah.
You know?
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, raw food is only good to people that like raw food.
Right. And
rabbits.
Rabbits. And some foods are better raw than other foods. Mm. Green beans, fine raw.
Mm.
Better cooked, but like if you want a raw carrot, that's fine.
Absolutely.
But a raw turnip or a rutabaga is an error. That's a mistake.
Absolutely. You know?
Dropped the ball, man.
Oh, what is this?
Tastes horrible. And I like them cooked. Beets, a raw beet, that's a terrible idea.
You know, to be, the only reason I halfway started eating vegetables, by the way, was an episode of Gilligan's Island.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Did that get you too? You know?
No, I don't remember that episode.
They had an episode where these beets, no, not beets, it was all sorts of supercharged, like radioactive fruits and vegetables, you know, washed ashore. So if you ate the carrots, you know, the carrot, you had super sight, you know, or ate the beets, you, it was sugar in them, so you had
how do I not remember this episode?
You missed, oh man.
So
I ate so many carrots after that, and I would just try and like see, you know, as far as I could see, you know, test people, you know.
Right. You know, the only vegetable sitcom episode I remember, MASH. They grew corn, and then at the end of the episode, Spoiler alert, you guys. At the end of the episode, the guy took the corn off the cob and made creamed corn out of it.
Right.
Instead of, like, they had gone through the trouble of growing fresh corn so they could have corn on the cob to remember their home. And he just, he was like, would you have wanted to eat it off the cob? And they're like, yes. Yes, weirdo. And I'd never appreciated corn on the cob until that episode of MASH.
You know.
Television teaches.
I could really stay on this food thing for a while.
You know,
I'm a big fan, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was going to, you do a recipe. I'm going to actually grab a recipe that I saw in a magazine.
Recipe. Well, you know, only because it's culture, and I'm not going to give away any family secrets or nothing like that. Won't give you a recipe, but I will give you a few tips and tricks. I don't know why I take on that voice, you know, whenever I start. You know, now, first thing, all meats are not created equal, which means you don't need to smoke it in the same way, all right? So, understand, fish gets the least amount of time, you know, of anything. You don't want to overcook it, all right? You know what I mean? Don't want to overcook that, so you just watch that, you know.
What kind of fish? Now, what kind of fish are you talking about?
Well, it doesn't matter, to be honest with you.
Trout?
Trout's a great fish. It's a light fish. You know, depending on what type, you know, that you're going with, like the, rainbow, you know, big fan of that, but,
the elusive brown trout,
the brown trout, what is that? The ruby, ruby red, you know,
they all look the same anyway. They look silverish, like trout,
you know, but typically, most people, I guess, the salmon, you know.
They smoke a lot of salmon.
People do that, I think, largely because you can get such a large hunk of it, you know. You know, put it on a plank, you know, cedar plank or something like that. But I can't really think. I'm thinking like 10 minutes, you know. Actually, because normally I'm going by the pound.
Okay.
You see, so like with beef, and these are relative, you know, beef's like an hour a pound.
Okay.
Relatively.
Right. You know, right. So keep
that,
an eye on
it. You know, keep an eye on it past that. Pork is about a half hour a pound, you know, relatively.
Is that because it's fattier, do you think? Or?
I'm not necessarily sure. I can't speak to all of that. But
that's how it works out.
It's how it does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's for like your shoulders and stuff like that. Got any like rump roast? You know those sorts of things. You start dealing with
like a big piece of meat.
Yeah, big hunk. You know, half hour pounder. So you start going with birds,
birds.
like turkey.
Yeah,
you know we're getting down to like 20-25 minutes or so a pound.
Oh right, because they're a lot smaller and more delicate.
Delicate, you know,
the bones.
Not as much meat, you know, to penetrate. But you want to make sure everything is cooked, you know.
Yep.
And
have you ever? You know who does good work with? Is the Chinese do good work with duck?
Oh,
it's the only. It's the only. I don't want to eat anybody else's duck.
It's great. The Peking?
The Peking, it's smoked.
Have you had, you know, when they come and they
and
slice
with the head
the
on
thing
it?
And the...
Right in front of you?
Oh,
one
great.
Time I've had that. It was, and then for some reason they took the carcass away and I was like, no, I can take that home.
You leave it.
Yeah, you leave. I don't understand why you would think I didn't pay for the whole bird. And
like, the crispy skin that they have. I had there's a place in D.C., it's in Falls Church, Virginia. I can't think of the name of it.
Chinese place?
Oh, it's Chinese. I want to call it one of the greatest places on earth to eat it. I mean, Travolta's eaten there. They have the photos of like Colin Powell, Travolta.
All
famous people that have been there. Nonetheless, I didn't know. Like, they brought out, you know, this duck and they slice it, you know, and they, you know, and that's all well and good, but then they give you the little onions.
Yeah.
And then
they
I was like, tortillas? What is this here?
right.
I tortillas? Tortillas? That's the way
proof that we're all just one.
Just one.
Just grandmothers everywhere going, no, you're going to want a piece of flatbread to put that on.
Got to.
And,
it's delicious.
It's delicious.
Everybody uses flatbread.
Everybody uses a flatbread.
I was just eating a gyro the other day. Day, you know,
that is a flatbread.
Delicious.
Welcome to the world of the pita.
Anyway,
now, here is the recipe of the week. We do digress. The recipe of the week in a magazine I get called The Week, which is an a magazine that has a little bit of news from everywhere.
Nice.
And I think, do you think that he's they're talking about beef ribs in that recipe? Because they don't say.
No, I'm looking at the ribs here. Those are pork, look like baby backs.
Do they call them baby backs when it's pork?
Yeah. So pork.
Because beef ribs are just called beef ribs, maybe.
Yeah, spare. See the difference. Those are those, well, because it's beef.
It's a larger animal. Big,
right. And so people do all sorts of things. Personally, one of the best things, rather than even thinking of slow, even though we're not talking about slow smoking, just to get those, get some spare ribs, put them in a crock pot with some barbecue sauce, Ron Popeil that said it and forget it, it works. It's great.
Sure.
It's great.
I mean, there's nothing. But there's part of me that loves a fiddly recipe it takes a while and you got to mix your own, marsala, whatever, Indian. Like there's some Indian spice rub that I was like, no, I'm going to make my own garam masala.
of course you are.
Of course I am. I'm like, I have to go buy entire pods of cardamom pods and then grind them with the mortar and pestle. And I do, but now I have a jar of both garam masala that I made myself and pods that I'm not using fast enough. So
yeah, you just have to go on a tear of just, fish tikka masala
and
tandoori. Just all the time.
Maybe I'll build a clay oven out in our backyard.
It could work. It's delicious food.
It is delicious food.
You understand? That's why they were colonized in the first place. Flavor.
Stuart Lee does a very funny joke about immigration. He was like, when the Indian immigrants came to the UK, it was like, everybody was so mad at them, and then they created a national cuisine that the rest of the world didn't hate. And you're like, thank God they came, because previously we were having the worst
dinners ever.
It's wonderful. Oh, look at them.
So much better than bangers and mash.
Exactly. We remember when we were eating mush? Yes. Mushy peas.
What is this? Paprika. Delightful.
Herbs.
Once again, so shall I read this recipe of the week?
Yes, read the recipe of the week.
Now we have, this is Spanish style baked ribs.
It's a Spanish style baked rib.
Spanish, the Spaniards, a terrible place for cuisine.
Oh, really?
Aside from tapas, I don't like, you see why they came and took over Mexico and all that.
They're like, we're going to need a hot pepper?
We're going to need something, flavor, the sabor, because, in Spain, unless you're close to the water.
They do good work with seafood, if I remember correctly,
You get close to the water, fresh fish, other than that, and tapas. And they,
Portuguese
you know,
make a hell of a sausage. Yeah. Again, back with the sausage
back
over
with
here.
That's okay. And the Linguisa. Chicken. They do the chicken.
Everyone's doing good work
with
chicken.
Everybody does, yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of fried chicken, just because it's got a lot of breading on it.
I get it.
And I would like to eat the chicken.
Well, that's what the Portuguese are good for. They grill it.
It's and great. The Indians as well. The tandoori. You would think it would be dry, but it is not.
I really think we could do an episode of NPR.
Me just talking. The thing is whenever anybody, you have other dorkdoms, but I'm like, no, we're going to be talking about food, it turns out. By the way, I am talking with Jemel Dotson, J-E-M-E-L Dotson, D-O-T-S-O-N, stand-up comic, you guys, and you should follow him on Hogshead Cheese at Hogshead Cheese, or go to whitebreadglobal.com, or listen to the 1,000 episodes of Me and Him with Eric Lempere.
Try and say it without smiling. It's difficult. Anyway, here we go. So this is for 2 slabs of baby back ribs. First, you need 2 cloves of garlic peeled. It's very important. Don't want
to
get that peel.
But you just look at the. I mean, do whatever you want.
You say what?
You don't have to read the whole thing. I mean, unless you would like to get into voice work. Are you going to read the? I was just thinking you could check the ingredients.
Oh, you want
and
well
see if they're ingredients
to be,
that you enjoy.
Well, in ingredients, okay. So in this,
it's
they
just
have
garlic and salt,
garlic, paprika, parsley, oregano, capers, Dijon mustard. So they've gone. I see. That's a. They're doing ribs, and that's a style. I wouldn't necessarily go that way. I've had that before.
It feels kind of a more of a vinegary sour kind of situation with the Grey Poupon or whatever.
With the Dijon, which interesting. Dijon's a very mustard is a great just sauce generally.
Yeah,
but That's cool. I really think you can get away with, you know, something. Tony's, I'm halfway giving secrets, but Tony's right. Creole seasoning. It's a great, great thing.
It's just a brand of Creole seasoning.
Brand of seasoning, but okay. You know, just Creole seasoning. But as long as you're using your sort of trifecta of salt, pepper, you know, garlic, when it comes down to the ribs, you know, and on the, if you're smoking something, you know, the smoke will do the rest, you know what I mean? But the salt is the key thing in terms of giving you flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then your sauce, you know.
On the side.
What, you know, becomes, because really, you know, you don't have to add the sauce. The sauce is really what you do afterwards. So you can choose to have dry rib.
Yeah.
You know, based on your rub,
yep.
You know, but normally if you don't have a rub, you need the sauce because your food doesn't have flavor,
right?
You know, except for the smoke, you know.
Yeah. But, so if you're going to, you could either do a rub or a sauce, I would say, but you could do a rub and a sauce.
I would recommend both.
You know? Really?
I really would. I think people.
It just adds another layer?
It just adds another layer. You know, you don't have to, you don't want to make one overpower the other. So if you can find a way to sort of get both to complement each other.
Yep.
That's the sweet spot. But as I said, that's the culture. And this stuff takes time to learn, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's trial and error. It's passed down, you know?
Right. Well, and that's,
not,
I mean,
osmosis, you know?
That's, I mean, the thing is with rubs and with the smoking and the stuff, it's not an exact, it's not like baking.
Mm-mm.
It's more hit and miss and more organic. It feels a little more improvisational than
it does.
Than baking.
Yeah.
Yeah, because baking is a science. And
very
so, you,
much
and
so.
You have to measure everything and make sure, you know, you measure twice, cut once.
Mm-hmm.
That's carpentry.
Yeah.
Sure, Jackie.
Of course you do.
And but
and the two before.
Yeah, exactly. And then
mix
you
mix that up.
Right. And then you put phyllo dough on top of
right.
it. Yeah, I think that ice cream is gonna melt if you want me to put that in. So do you, okay, so we could do all the, so birds, fish, pork, there's a pork recipe that I do, it's just a baked pork though, it's with a lot of, it's with a red onion and smoked red peppers and regular bell peppers, and then a lot of paprika and garlic and red onions, and then it's a slow cook. Oh, and I think, I know, tomatoes,
okay.
A can of tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
tomatoes and peppers, and then a jar of roasted red peppers, and then paprika and red onions, and I think some garlic.
Well, that sounds good. What do you, is that oven? Crock pot?
Kind of crock potty kind of thing. It's I have like this baked, like a cast iron.
Dutch oven?
Dutch oveny thing. Yeah, that I stick in the thing for like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a slow cook on like 200 or 250 for 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
And then it's all falling apart. And then put it on top of some peel off.
That's great.
And your life is kind of complete. I never liked pork before because we never.
Really?
Yeah. You could just, that's fine.
Really.
My stepmother was, she didn't like to cook. So she was not good at it on purpose.
I see.
And, she was like, why don't you figure out what you want to eat elsewhere. And the only thing she was good at making was baked chicken and pilaf, because my dad liked baked chicken and pilaf, and that was it. And the rest of it was a disaster.
Now, I would love to be like, yes, I know rice pilaf, but what when we say pilaf?
I'm only talking about rice pilaf.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Because
right,
there's probably other pilafs, and I don't know what the word pilaf
means. That's what I was trying to like, because I know the term, but
right.
I can't. What is pilaf?
Pilaf is as far as I can tell, without all the information, and this is a classic moment in podcasting, you guys. Not enough info. Let's expound.
No need to Google it.
Nope. Why spend that kind of time? Why spend that?
You hipsters.
So it's what I would say is that it's It's rice done in sort of a fancy fashion. And okay. you usually use, you add things like butter and pine nuts. And my stepmom and my grandma used to add like egg noodles, a little bit of egg noodles or they were
pine
small.
Pine nuts and what else?
Pine nuts and egg noodles and butter.
Oh.
And
in the rice.
And then you cook the rice in chicken broth.
Ah.
So it's a lot more flavorful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
you add a stick of butter to anything.
Yeah, just a stick of butter. A little Paula Deen for you.
Exactly,
huh?
Yes. You know? There's some diabetes. Oh. And, poor thing.
A little hop along.
She's out of her mind. Anyway, so you ever watch those cooking shows?
Oh, all of them, clearly.
Well, the thing is I'll watch. Like, there's ones that I watch and I'm like, oh, I want to make that.
Right.
Like, I used to watch. Like, I love Jamie Oliver.
Okay.
The Naked Chef.
The Naked Chef. Right.
Yes.
Today we're going to be cooking salmon. You know, make sure that it's wild caught, all right? You know, we want to make sure that it doesn't have any of the preservatives. That,
you want to stab it yourself.
You know?
So that you're not overfishing. And then, so I like Jamie Oliver. I like. You know who I like her, but I don't ever want to make anything she cooks.
Right.
Is that Ina Garten woman?
Ina Garten, yeah.
Ina Garten, and also Rachel Ray.
Rachel, we like Rachel.
I'm unmoved. I don't want to make anything she's making.
You say,
I don't
want to make. I just like Rachel.
And
like,
remember that skinny blonde woman who like she was more interested in the table settings. That was not for me either.
Maybe I can't. I can't.
It was almost
her.
Homemade. I think it was what it was called, or mostly homemade. Or
I might not have been able to like relate to that. You know, there was like, what is she gonna do for me? You know,
I want homemade. You know, I want it to be fiddly as all.
You want it?
There was some. Oh, I know the pork dish I got from. When the Food Network only showed
recipe shows. I don't know. They just had their like what's his, bam. What was that? Emerald was
oh,
there.
Oh, Emerald. He was like
Giada.
Lady.
The teeth. You know that she had the smile. You know, and then she would tell you something about like
right. And it was seriously the 1% would sit around 100%. And eat like. Pomegranate seeds that were drizzled on top of a piece of lettuce.
We've zested this with fruit you can only get for 2 weeks out of the year on a beach in Cambodia.
You have to send a child up a chimney to get this.
We sacrificed two children.
It got a little dark, you guys.
That was too much. I'm sorry.
Jamel and I have spent a lot of time.
Sorry. Went too deep.
Rangers.
Oh, my fault. We bring it back.
No. I think I started it.
Bring the children back to life. Please.
Yes. Let us. We haven't. No actual children were killed
they
in the making
never,
of this food.
Never.
So.
But if they were flavorful.
Right. With both a rub and a sauce, you guys.
You know,
if you're going to make. Not,
just if you know. Cook them slow.
Slow and low, you guys.
Terrible.
It is terrible. It's terrible. People know that we're terrible. They'll get over it. The journey continues.
Yeah.
We've done 40 minutes on smoked meats.
Okay.
It's a hard switch to go to Harry Potter.
It is.
Have you ever had shark?
You know, I...
Because you said you like sharks.
I saw
an entire... A setup of shark fins, and I was like,
well, that,
"How many fins are on a shark?"
Well, that well, one. That's why I don't believe if I had it was out of ignorance, but I want to say I would never at this point eat shark, and that's only it's because of. Well, one, you have the, you know, mercury poison and whatnot that's going on.
Oh, right.
But
practical reasons.
practical, you know, myself first. But two, and because of the fact they've shark fin soup and such. So they've been so
overfished
and not even fished, you know, just maimed, you know.
And then re-released.
And then they just throw them back. So, of course, you just kill the shark just for its fins. But then it's, you know,
You're not using the whole
shark?
So
you don't even use the whole shark, you see. So that's pretty horrific, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate the shark. So, no, I would not.
Did you know they can't swim backwards? Did you know that about sharks?
No.
They can't swim backwards. I found that out on the Universal Lot tour when you go by the Jaws exhibit.
Right.
It was many years ago. And the shark, the mechanical shark that comes out during the when you go by the set for Jaws.
Right.
The shark is supposed to come out.
Right.
And scare the tram ride.
Uh-huh.
And it was broken.
Right.
And so it was going backwards. And the guy driving the tram said, "Oh, this is something that doesn't occur in nature. That shark is going backwards." And that made me look it up, and then I put it in a joke. But sharks can't go backwards.
Mm, I learned something.
See? That's what podcasting is all about. Well, do you have a podcast, Jamel? You're dropping knowledge.
No, I'm going to get one.
You got
to
do it.
I've got to do it. I like to talk, and I have things to say, you know? I need a podcast.
That is all that is needed.
It makes sense, you know? Need some sponsors.
Oh, and then you got to get the sweet money of podcasting.
I need that sweet rent money. That's what I need.
I can't express to you how little money is in. I've gotten in on the ground floor of this non-money-making endeavor. But maybe... maybe you will be the one that hits it big in podcasting.
I'm Joe Rogan, you know what
I mean? You're the Joe Rogan, Mark Maron, Jimmy Pardo.
It's going to happen.
I don't know if there are any ladies. Oh, I know. The two dope queens.
Oh, two dope queens.
They're making a living off of their podcast.
Right. Yeah, I could.
That's it. The four of them.
All right, the four of them.
There has to be more than that.
Have to be.
But
mine's coming soon. You look for it.
It's incredibly satisfying.
I believe
podcast. This is the 12th year I've been doing the Dark Forest.
Yeah. Well, congratulations! Insert
thank you very
applause
much.
Break.
small. That was not planned, you guys.
Not at all.
Jamel and I just did that together. So that is crazy.
I belong on the Dark Forest.
You do. We all belong in the Dark Forest. So what makes you like sharks?
Well, my thing with sharks. I've always liked sharks. See, I wanted to be a marine biologist, as a kid. I really did, I wanted to be like Jacques Cousteau halfway. I thought that was awesome,
He is awesome.
Now, it was until I went to SeaWorld and saw how large dolphins were. Like, that was when...
That blew your mind?
Well, first of all, it swam by, and I said, well, what was that? And they were it's a dolphin. I said, that thing is huge, and people get in the water with that? And it looks at you with the eyes, and it's self-aware.
Just the one eye. Yeah.
They're self-aware. It's like Skynet with flippers. Terrifying.
Skynet. They are very smart.
So, right, they kill sharks because they're smarter than they are,
Right.
Dolphins stab them in the gills, right? They rub them in the gills. Killer whales. Now, this is my favorite. Now, killer whales are the actual apex predator in the sense of what they've learned to do because they're not instinct like sharks. Sharks have just, they're so good at what they do. They've been doing it since, the past.
A million years or something?
160 or 60 million years, something ridiculous.
Killer whales?
Killer whales. Adapt. So what they do, they learn, their hunting techniques. It's real time, and they will teach real time. So what they've learned, if you flip a shark, they go into a catatonic state, right? So what they will do, because you have to understand, they're both ambush predators. And, the difference is sharks hunt alone, right?
Yeah.
You have killer whales, orcas, they hunt in packs, right? So they will go and flip a shark over on his side, right on his
and
back.
And it'll freak out?
No, it's catatonic. They will eat the thing, right? So there's no, freaking out. That's it, Jack.
That's how you could kill a shark is if you flip it over?
You flip it.
Wow.
You have to flip it.
All right.
But you have to flip it.
You have to, right. It's not just, I just got to flip a shark over here. You have to figure out how to flip a shark.
Yeah, all you got to do is just ring the, put the bell around the cat's neck.
You just surprise it and it turns its head really fast and then all of a sudden it's on its back.
Only the killer whale can do that.
Only the killer whale has the skill set to actually flip a shark on its back.
But I was obsessed with, Well, yeah.
You liked like more sea animals, though.
I was into, well, things that could, like, I was a guy, I was a boy, you know, anything that was dangerous, you know.
Okay.
That was
there you go.
That's what I was. I liked things in the sea, but I wasn't just into like, oh, that's a seahorse.
Have you ever
like,
been a seahorse, the beautiful seahorse?
Oh,
no.
Wonderful.
No, I am a boy. Does it kill something? You know? Well, tinier things than seahorses, but seahorses are this big.
Is it just, I don't know, do seahorses swim? Do they scoot through the ocean? Oh, look at that.
Have you ever gone scuba diving?
No, and I would never. I've gotten in a shark cage. You know,
what?
I've done that.
Why would I would never go scuba diving, but I've gotten
I would
in a
never
shark.
Go scuba diving, but.
A shark? Swim with sharks? Of course I did. You know, you've gotten in a cage?
Right. Yeah, so I can't judge, like I can't be like most like black people watching 47 meters down. Typical white girls.
you know that typical like the black audience thing? That's me. I'm like, don't go in there. Do not go. That is not going to end well. I'm the worst at horror movies. Right. Anyway, but
I can't do the can't be the stereotype.
You can't be the stereotype. I am the stereotype.
I can't defy it at all.
So, but what did you do with a shark cage?
I was in South Africa, and I had a chance to get in a shark cage, and I said, "Yeah, you know, this is." I mean, shark
classic
week.
Comic.
I've been watching it my whole life.
Like, wait, what can we do? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's getting let's get in a shark cage. Just so, me,
just on the ocean, yeah. Like off of
where
Johannesburg or wherever.
Where was I? Was I in Joburg? No, Cape Town.
Cape
I was
Town.
In Cape Town.
Okay,
so this is like Gaines. Bay, however they say it. You
okay.
Know, you know, hey, bro. You know, laka. Anyway, laka, bro. They say
I've been trying to get that gig for a decade. I can't get that gig. There'll be another day.
One day. It's
one
a great
day. It's
place,
all going to work out. Know? I heard it's a great gig.
You got to go. But I ended up getting, got a chance to get in the cage, you know, and it's nuts. Now, first of all, I'm the only one. Well, it's me and a bunch of honeymooners, you know, and
because that's
and
what like, you want to do. We're in love. Let's go.
Let's go. And married couples, French, you know, and stuff. They're looking at me like, who is this guy? And
why is he flying solo? What's going on?
He's alone.
Doesn't he have a girl that wants to almost die with us?
Either that or he's got to be really, really famous. Like, we have no ideas. I took a lot of selfies with. I couldn't convince people of who I wasn't, right? They'd have a Rolodex. Snoop, Lil Wayne, Migos, you're one of them.
Come
right?
on. Nonetheless. Just think I'm famous. I'm an American.
I couldn't
Come
tell
on.
Them anything, you know, yeah. Whether I was. I signed autographs. Oh, they were excited, you know. But anyway, so I'm in the cage, and they chum the water, right? And the thing about it, and I have such respect for the animal, is one, you know the shark is there because all of the fish have they swim away, you
right.
know? And people would, spotters would be up top, and they'd be like, you know, shark, down left or down right, right? Now, you could not see the shark until it was way too late, right?
Like, It turns out they work through sneakery.
Interesting. This is what this ambush predator stuff is about. I see. Oh, you're very good at this.
It turns out this isn't a hobby. Interesting.
I see. So you've been doing this for 150 million years, have you? Hmm.
You know? Well, that is awesome.
It's terrifying. You know, but meanwhile, as I'm doing this is where I gain new respect for, like, when you see, like, the Blue Planet and stuff like that. The BBC was just over. There's this spot, I want to call it, like, Seal Island. Now, understand, this is just shark food, so we know the sharks are there.
Oh, right.
See, right? I've seen them. This is it. They are in the water, right? Just swimming around with the camera and confidence, right?
Oh, the BBC dudes?
No cage.
No cage.
No cage. White sharks, food, right?
And dude camera, with camera.
Confidence. Amazing.
Amazing.
Anyway, so.
Not bright.
Not bright.
No.
You know.
And then, well, here's my thing. So if you're in a cage and all of a sudden you turn around, shark, but are you underwater?
Yeah.
But you're not with now, a snorkel?
Well, I have the snorkel, so, you know, they submerge the cage, but it's a large cage, so you can
Does
come
the cage have water in it? I mean, air in it?
No. You know, they don't, the cage isn't completely submerged, so they leave a
so
piece
you come
of it.
Up,
so
get
I can
some,
come up and get
breathe,
some air.
And then and, go, back
and go back down
and look for sharks.
And look
and
for
then come
sharks,
back up.
Right? And it was great. I had a couple of French guys in there with me. Like the French couple was down there. I know this sounds like, oh, this was a swinging cage, was it?
You
know,
bowl of keys, you know, cage.
But in my mind, I was just like, well, you know, if something goes south, you know what
maybe
I'm saying?
They'll eat some. How many people are in this
all
cage?
All that butter and what?
They're better seasoned than I am. They're better seasoned than I am.
They're better seasoned, you know. Tastes like rabbits, you know? Heart healthy, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, he needs it. He does a lot of cardio. You know? A lot of
How many people are in this cage? You know, how many people
was,
fit in
I
it?
I believe there were three people
per
in
cage.
The cage. That was max. There was only one cage out. It was funny because the you had the biologist and the helper. The helper was actually South African. Nonetheless, nonetheless, it was funny because he was looking at me, right? Like as everybody was like looking at me, like, "What are you doing here?"
Why are you?
He was like, he may have been the most confused.
The South African dude,
like, "Hey, what is it? What are you doing here?
Right.
Are you going to get in the cage like the
like the crazy
like the
tourist.
Rest of them? Eh?
Yeah,
like the crazy tourist. Hey, I thought and you were better than that,
right?"
No. You are just as crazy.
Right. It turns out I, too, crazy tourist. I don't think you're familiar with the idea.
American.
Yes, American.
Is, you know,
that's what we do.
Shark Week.
It's,
you know?
I was just in Dublin, Ireland.
Right.
And the driver who drove me from the airport guy, he said, that's one of the oldest pubs in Dublin. But it's been there since 1198. But it's a bit of a tourist trap. And I was
right.
like, yeah, we're tourists.
Right.
I bet you it's been a tourist trap for 700 years.
Right.
Let's go to it. Why wouldn't I want to go to the thing that the tourists have been going to?
Gotta
for?
Go.
It's been open for almost 950 years. Let's go.
Of course.
Yes, I bet
There's
you.
There's a reason people go.
It's still working.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
It would shut down if it
and
wasn't worth it.
When I was in, I think it was in, I was doing one of the Armed Forces Entertainment tours, right?
Okay.
In Northern Africa. In Djibouti.
Djibouti.
Yes. And they, you could, we got to put the bite suits on and get Ooh. Taken down by the dogs.
Oh, wow.
And and they said, do you want to do that? And I said, I do. Because, of course, American, comic. Sure, I'll put the bite suit on.
The cowboy comes, oh, hell yeah. You know?
Well, do you don't happen to know Vargas Mason, do you?
No, not all
the time. He does some comedy store shows. And,
okay.
And comic. But he's, it was me, Alicia Cooper, April Macy.
Okay.
So three women and Vargas Mason, and he was running this thing. And I was like, oh, I want to do the bite suit. And Alicia Cooper was like, not a chance in hell. You're out of your damn mind. And April Macy was like, maybe.
American, black American.
Yeah.
Absolutely well, not.
Except for the fact Vargas is black. But Vargas is like a 6 foot tall, very fit, very handsome, you know,
right,
dude,
right?
And so, but they bring out a 25 pound Belgian shepherd dog.
Or maybe I should say black woman.
Right, right, black woman. Black. She's no moron. But Vargas hurt himself.
Right. Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah, because he tried to outrun the fucking dog.
What was...
And that's why they have dogs, because
right.
you can't outrun them.
Right.
So
Four
me,
legs, you know.
And I can't outrun anything.
Right.
So I didn't assume. So me, just patting around, the dog takes me down. Mm. Vargas, they bring out like a 75, 80-pound German shepherd.
Vargas. Yeah.
Yeah. And Alicia goes, you are not seriously going to let that dog, that's a Birmingham civil rights dog. You are not going to run in front of that fucking dog.
It's and a Vargas German is, shepherd. By
right, German shepherd, and not a Belgian
if
shepherd.
If any dog could be racist, the German
that
shepherd.
The German shepherd. You know? And so, but Vargas almost makes it.
Right.
Like he almost... And he was
that makes it even better.
He's like almost jumps over the wall.
Freedom.
He's so fucked. But dude was like a hero though, because I would still be in Djibouti if what happened to me happened to him.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because he broke his damn kneecap.
Oh wow.
Yeah, not good.
Wow.
Not good. And two surgeries.
Oh my.
Flew home bulkhead coach.
Oh wow.
And I was like, dude, bump yourself up to first class. There'll be another $4,000 in your life. And he goes, I have two kids. Shut up. Leave me alone. And then he got home. But it was, this was day two of the trip, by the way.
Alicia was just sitting there the whole time. Nope. See, I told you.
Exactly.
You have to ask what you get. Out there acting you like them. See?
You are an idiot. And she was like, well, she would, there's video of me, and you could hear Alicia going, this is the dumbest thing that you've ever done, Cation. Anyway.
That's hilarious.
By the way, it has been an hour.
Wonderful.
We have done vital work here.
We really have.
Jamel Dotson, thank you so much for being on the Door Forest.
Oh, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Why, thank you. At Hogshead Cheese, of course, and whitebreadglobal.com. Go see the stand-up comedy of Jamel Dotson, you guys, here in Los Angeles, or perhaps at someplace near you, right?
That's
you get
true.
Back to Indiana, I bet.
I get back from time to time.
Sure.
You
do the room. It happens.
You know, but really, there's only three things in Indiana. It's like corn, basketball, and the Klan. So it's not a whole bunch of reasons.
Right. No, you know, no reason to go back.
For me to go back, you know what I mean?
So sorry, Indiana.
You know. Oh.
By the way, I'm doing Bloomington next month.
Hey, the Comedy Attic in Bloomington is a great oasis of just happy times. You know,
right.
The Comedy Attic's a great place.
It's,
you know,
right? It's
so I promote
one
that,
of the best.
You know,
yeah, clubs in the country as far as I'm
concerned. Absolutely. Jared's done a lot to build that up.
That's,
you know,
awesome. Okay, and Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?